is Loretta Boyles versus Joanne Barnhart. Okay, Mr. Scholl.
May it please the court, I represent the appellant in the Social Security disability case, and we're urging that the court reverse and remand for payment of the benefits because the administrative law judge in this case substituted improperly his judgment for the medical judgment of the medical experts at the hearing and the treating neurologist of the claimant in this case. There were two ways that the claimant could be found disabled in this case. One was that the claimant equaled a listing. The second was that the frequency and severity of the pseudo-seizures and the aftermath were enough that the person would not be able to work full-time based on the testimony of the vocational expert. The equaling of a listing is a little bit different than the meeting of a listing. In Social Security cases, they have different impairments that are listed. All impairments are not listed. If you have the medical findings that are the same as or worse than the medical findings in the listings, then you meet the listings. However, in this case, the claimant equals the listing, and the reason for that is this is there are several ways you can equal a listing. In this case, we're saying she equals the listing because she had an impairment, although not one of the impairments given in the listing. It was one. It was similar to that impairment, and her medical findings, the severity and significance of that, were equal to that in the listings. And we're contending that the medical expert at the hearing, Dr. Stump, indicated that the claimant did equal a listing. Now, in this case, the claimant has pseudo-seizures. Now, these are not the same as epileptic seizures. And in this case, the listing we're saying she equaled was for convulsive epileptic seizures, what we commonly call the grand mal seizure. The first difference that was important in this case was that...
Is there no listing for pseudo-seizures? Does it fit into no listing? I mean, it's a psychiatric condition, is it?
There is no listing for it. The belief is that abuse in childhood or sexual abuse in childhood may be the underlying cause, and also... in certain other kinds of psychiatric problems, this person, the person's conversion disorder, somatoform disorder. So yes, it is. It covers both really psychological or psychiatric and physical. But Dr. Stump, who was he was the physical the end of it there, and there was also a medical expert, Dr. Pitcher, who was a psychologist. And they both agreed that these seizures, although they were pseudo seizures, there was no EEG that showed that it was due to a neurological cause. They said that they were real, and not only in theory, but in her case, they were real. They were witnessed by ambulance drivers. I think one of the most telling facts is that she was sent by her doctor, a treating neurologist, to the hospital for 5 days where the personnel watch. And in that five-day period, she did have one pseudo-seizure. So there's no question that this has been witnessed by medical personnel. Now, it's impossible to meet the listing. You have to have more than one a month, but it's going to be impossible for medical personnel to, observe that over a long period of time. And in this case, the medical expert at the hearing, Dr. Stump, he agreed that these were real, these were happening. Her treating neurologist, Dr. Wallach, who specializes in this, said that he believed that they did occur twice a month based upon his treatment, based upon the test. based upon his general treatment of this individual. The second substitution was the judge said, well, the administrative law judge said, well, the claimant is not going to the hospital for seizures. Well, Dr. Stump, the medical expert, said, well, that doesn't happen very often. This is a record typical for a person with even convulsive epileptic seizures. They don't go to the hospital, or they're not taken to the hospital by the medical personnel for these kind of problems. So that's not a good reason to reject it. The third prong of the listing is that the seizures have to affect the individual's daily activities. And she was having two kinds of seizures, both seizures during the day and both seizures during the night. Now, the evidence indicates that her seizures improved during the day with some treatment by Dr. Wallach, but the seizures at night continued, and Dr. Wallach indicated they continued, at least in his opinion, at twice a week. There was a lot, and it's important to say here that the judge said there was no evidence, okay, not that he rejected evidence, but he said that there was no evidence that these pseudo-seizures affected, the ones at night, affected her daytime activities. And there was a lot of evidence of that I pointed out in my brief. There was her cousin, Charlotte Hudson, who filled out a form for Social Security. She explained that waking up after these seizures, that her cousin was confused, that she really wasn't very oriented for about a half hour, hour or so, and that she stayed in bed for most of the rest of the day and even longer than that. And this is consistent with pseudo-seizures. Pseudo-seizures, from a medical standpoint, they don't come on as abruptly, but they last longer, and the after effects last longer. That we scientifically know that, and so that meets up with that. Second, he rejected Dr. Wallach's opinion. Again, he uses the reason that they went to the hospital. She didn't go to the hospital for seizures, I've already covered that. Now, one thing I think he adds here is he indicates that there wasn't anything about seizures in the hospital notes. And I'm not sure whether he's talking about whether she was going to be treated for seizures, which is true. There wasn't any treatment for seizures at the hospitals, at the emergency room. But they did mention that she was having seizures in her history and when she was in the emergency room in the places. They
mentioned that she had related that she had had seizures.
I'm sorry?
They mentioned that she had related to them that she had had seizures. Is that right?
I think the hospitals just, I don't know whether she related to them, but it's clear they were aware that she had a history of seizures, because she was coming to the hospital for the emergency room for reasons other than her seizures, and in the history part of it, they list that.
So that's going fine.
Finally, the judge says that there's prescription drug abuse, and that's the real cause, and so Dr. Wallach's opinion should be rejected. Well, that's clearly wrong. I mean, the medical experts at the hearing, who had the whole background to look at, said no. It's clear that she's at this point, as far as we can tell, there's no abuse of prescription drugs, there's no abuse of alcohol, no abuse of street drugs. Now, that may have been true at first, we don't know for sure, but we can tell now that she's not using it, that these are pseudo-seizures, that they aren't drug-induced. For those reasons, I would request that you reverse and pay.
If we reverse it for further information, that was sort of an alternate.
Yes, Judge, I would.
What would they explore? What would they need to do?
I guess the judge would have to consider again and the opinions of the treating doctor and of the medical experts
We seem to be concerned about drugs. Would that be something that would have to be ironed out?
I don't think so, because I mean, both Dr. Stump and Dr. Pitcher at the hearing, the medical experts, said, hey, we looked at the whole record, we listened to her today, and it's not due to that. I mean, she was in the hospital fairly just before the hearing for the view of those things. Where they send you in, you sleep, and they hook you up, and they watch you. And she had a pseudo seizure there. I mean, if she would have been on drugs or alcohol or under prescription influence, I mean, they would have known it at that point.
Okay. Ms. Moore?
May it please the Court, my name is Ari Moore, and I'm here on behalf of the Commissioner of Social Security. Contrary to plaintiff's assertions, she has failed to establish that her pseudo-seizures were the equivalent of listing-level epilepsy. To show medical equivalent, there must be medical findings, not non-medical evidence. Except for plaintiffs.
Forgive me for a moment. I really can't get over this case, to be honest with you, because we've got an ALJ who discounted the pseudo seizures because there was no EEG evidence. There will never be EEG evidence with pseudo seizures. I can't imagine what the ALJ.
Your Honor, he did not discount it on that basis. That is an incorrect assertion in the record. He said at the time that he was evaluating whether her seizures met the listing, at that time, EEG evidence was required to document seizures. He mentioned that, but he went on to say, even though there is no EEG documentation, pseudo seizures are documented in the record. He says this at trial 3031, I believe. He says, the seizures, while not documented by EEG findings, were testified to by the claimant and her boyfriend and are supported, although somewhat marginally, in the record. He went on the next page to say, the most serious and perplexing of claimants of impairments is the seizure disorder. He did not at any time deny that she had pseudo seizures. Plaintiff is incorrect when he says that when she says that he ignored Dr. Stump's testimony that the pseudo seizures were real. The ALJ found they were so real that he agreed she should have seizure precautions. And both medical experts testified that she could work as long as she had the same seizure protection that epileptic seizure claimants had. So he did not deny that she had pseudo seizures, and he did not deny that they were serious.
Why did he find her not totally credible in her description of her physical limitations? In other words, on what did he base that finding?
On the physical? He based it, in the record, Dr. Stump. I would just like to back up a minute because I think plaintiff has made a number of assertions that are factual assertions that aren't correct in the record. Number one, Dr. Stump never testified that these seizures, pseudo seizures, equaled the listings. He never did. They discussed it, all three of them, counsel, the ALJ, and Dr. Stump, and they all said, hey, this can't be a meets question because there's no EEG documentation, and at that time...
I'm sorry, this can't be a what?
A meets the listing issue.
Oh, okay.
Because at that time, EEG documentation was required. They all said, yes, it's an equals issue. But he never said that. Not only that, he said, this is a psychological problem. I defer to the psychological expert here. And she said plaintiff could work with seizure precautions. Not only that, she said there was no evidence that she was disabled. She didn't say no, and she said she did not meet in the mental impairment listing.
I need to understand something. Are you saying that when this hearing was held, at that time,
yes,
the listing required,
yes,
an EEG for pseudo seizures?
Yeah.
Even though pseudo seizures is a...
No, not for pseudo seizures. He's saying that the listing equals the requirements of convulsive epilepsy. And at that time, epilepsy, that listing 1102 required documentation. I mean, ALJ was required to evaluate whether she even had epilepsy in the first place. Were these epileptic seizures? But he agreed, no, they were pseudo seizures.
Okay. I mean, but it's kind of like apples and oranges.
Right,
I mean,
but
exactly. You know, real seizures are a neurological illness. Pseudo seizures
are psychological.
Are a form of, you know, conversion reaction or conversion
or
hysteria.
Somatoform disorder. Exactly. So the perhaps plaintiff should have argued, but he waived this argument, that her seizures, her pseudo-seizures, met a mental impairment listing. He never raised that below, perhaps because the ALJ consulted a psychological expert on this issue, and she said, no, their plaintiff does not have listing-level mental impairment.
Now, there was no psychiatrist who testified, was there?
There was a psychologist.
Right, a psychologist.
Dr. Pitcher.
But that's pretty
she was the psychological expert. And then Dr. Stump was actually not a neurologist. He was an internist. Mm-hmm. Now, interestingly enough, plaintiff also leaves an impression that Dr. Wallach, her treating neurologist, opined that she was disabled because of her pseudo-seizures. To the contrary, he specifically opined that her pseudo-seizures did not disable her. He basically said she's disabled. He supported her claim for disability because of her terrible history of childhood abuse, including sexual abuse. But Dr. Pitcher, the psychologist, the medical expert in the record, reviewed her history and said there is no evidence that she is currently disabled for this reason. She evaluated it. So plaintiffs, in this case, to establish his entire argument is that she equals a neurological listing for convulsive epilepsy. He does not argue she meets a mental impairment listing. Dr. Stump said, hey, I can't even, it's not in my field. This is not listing, he's basically saying listing 1102 is not applicable. But that is the listing under which the ALJ evaluated, and the ALJ very specifically evaluated it and referred to three of the criteria of the listing that she didn't meet.
Ms. Bohr, I'm going to take you back to my question.
Okay.
Because I still am wondering, because it's unexplained as far as I can see, why the ALJ found her not totally credible in her description of her limitations.
Because, number one, there was no corroborating evidence whatsoever in the record. He discusses her frequency, and he specifically says there is no independent corroborating evidence that she had any medical findings that equaled the requirements of the listing. Even Dr. Wallach did not give a description of her pseudo-seizures. And the ALJ pointed that out.
But he didn't find that his opinion wasn't well supported, and nor did he explain how evidence in the record contradicted Dr. Wallach's opinion about the frequency of her pseudo-seizures.
Yes, he did discuss how the evidence in the record contradicted that. That is at, I think it's 31 or 32. He discussed it at great length. He first of all said that her seizures that occurred, that Dr. Wallach said they occurred twice a week. The ALJ said he referred to a hospitalization in which it was reported she had one psychogenic seizure. No records of that hospitalization are in the record. Dr. Wallach himself did not describe that seizure, which the ALJ pointed out. He didn't say, was this daytime, was it nighttime? There's literally there's no description of her seizures in the record. None. Not by her treating neurologist. The only evidence in the record is hers. Now, Dr. Wallach, even though Dr. Wallach, in his treatment records, he says, her seizures stopped within 1 month of medication. I mean, But the ALJ went on to discuss frequency, although he could have, and he did not specifically refer to Dr. Wallach's own treatment notes, which absolutely contradicted the statement that she had them twice a week. It's plain that that statement was based on her own allegation. But the ALJ pointed out that Dr. Wallach was not a psychiatrist, not a psychologist, apparently was totally unaware of her history of drug abuse, alcoholism, and prescription abuse. This was in the record as recently as December of 2001, in which a treating therapist said, "I discussed with her her prescription abuse." Now, originally, her seizures were attributed to alcohol withdrawal. Plaintiff asserts that both experts said, "Oh, there's absolutely no evidence of it now." They didn't quite say that. They went on, they did say she did have a history of abuse. And I just wanted to quickly, could I answer the other question on terms of an evaluation of drug abuse as to whether it's a material? That issue only comes up if an ALJ finds that the plaintiff is disabled in the first place. Then you go to evaluate whether the addiction was a material factor contributing to that determination. If there's no finding of disability, there's no need to remand to consider that issue.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Your time is expired. I'll give you 30 seconds if you've got something to say, but don't say much.
Judge, essentially the commissioner wants you to look at this and they want you to ignore the physical, or they want you to ignore the mental, and they don't want you to put those together and combine them, and I think it's very important that you do so in this case.
All right, thanks.
Thank you.
Case will be taken under advisement.